I couldn't let this day pass without a couple of women's lib notes. Laura Lawrence, one of the young girls in our New York newsroom, for example, wrote out a brief manifesto to the staff this morning, voicing support for women's liberation, but saying she wouldn't burn her bra today because she doesn't wear one. My wife, Sandy, marked this day of feminine protest by serving me breakfast in bed, as usual, and then she went back to bed. To show my support for the cause, I myself wore a dress to work today. Aren't you glad this isn't television? This is Roger Sharp in New York for American Information Radio, and that's good news for today. A service of ABC News.
Hi, radio buffs. Phil Wayne inviting your tweeters once again with MarketScope, a monthly audio peek into what's happening in large, medium, and small radio markets across the USA. Now, as you may recall, last month we ventured to Birmingham and heard quite a diversity of formats on the AM band. And now with a flip of the band switch, we continue on the FM side with that southern gentleman, Dale Hamm.
Bottom of the band, 90.3 is WBHM, which is a public radio type station, such as NPR and all that, so I'll pass it. 91.5 is WGIB, which is all religious. On 93.7 you have WDJC, also a religious format.
Christian radio for the 90s. 93.7 FM, WDJC.
It surely is. Live it on the bright side. Brian Duncan on WDJC with Bob Ratchford here. Welcome back into Joy in the Morning for a...
This is WAPI, which IDs a lot as I-95, and they're on 94.5.
This is Trey Matthews from I-95's Morning Wake Up Service. And if you missed today's show, here's what you missed.
And welcome to another fine edition of Billy Wiggins' Hunting Tips. And on this morning's Hunting Tips, well, I thought I'd introduce to everybody some of the new products available on the market for the outdoorsman.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to the all-new line of Buck Ruckus deer calls, you're sure to lure that big one in. And the difference this year is the models, they're closer to reality. The mating call sound effect.
I'll let you know.
What's that mean? That's a, hey, Bucky boy, let's go spawn a fawn. Guaranteed to attract any deer like magic.
Great, Billy.
Just some of the products out this year for the fall hunter and outdoorsman in your family. I'm Billy Wiggins.
You're outdoorsman.
Don't miss tomorrow's show, the Morning Wake-Up Service. Weekdays 5:30 to 10 here on Birmingham's I-95.
Traffic update. Still that problem in Tarrant at the 3600 block of Van.
Tracy Ann, I-95 weather.
Traffic update.
WABI-FL. Birmingham. Your 95 with Scott Bohannon.
The next station on the FM dial is at 96.5 WMJJ.
Drill.
Magic 96.
Magic 96, it's the oldies party. I'm John Rogers. I was looking at the forecast. It looks like it's going to be nice through Saturday. Magic 96 is the oldies party. If you want to come along, my number is 741-WMJJ. What are you doing tonight, by the way?
Me, I'm destined at home, listening to radio.
Well, it's so good to have you here. How about some doobies for you?
Magic 96.
Magic 96.
The station you listen to most. Magic 96.
Magic 96, Kevin Collins and the Drive at 5. Hey, can I get a song on for you? Make that drive home a little bit easier. Love to do it. 741-WMJJ. Toll free on the Cellular One Network. And that number's 811. Magic 96, Kevin Collins, 17 minutes after 5 o'clock. Nice night coming up. Low around 58 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Back up into the 80s. Then a change coming with the wind. Good shot at rain on Wednesday night. We really do need some, too. 86 right now at Magic. Magic 96, where no repeat workdays mean more variety in the music. Magic 96. Kevin Collins at 534 Northeast YMCA. 96. Kevin Collins at 543. We got another winning Magic Alabama lottery number coming up next. But first, Brad Ellis checks.
96.
Magic 96.
The kids have their stations. You have Magic 96.
Just after 6 o'clock, kicking off another hour of great oldies and today's hits, and the lottery is live at 45. Another chance for you to win $1,000 cash.
Magic 96, WMJJ, Birmingham.
The next station on the FM dial that covers the Birmingham area is 96.9. WRSA, which is on Brindle Lee Mountain, which is about halfway between Birmingham and Huntsville. So
45, high tomorrow, 55. Now cloudy and 58 in Huntsville, Decatur, at beautiful 97, WRSA.
Here can be picked up in this area is on 99.5 WZRR.
It's the morning again in America.
It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning, everybody.
In the morning, when you rise.
Gotta get up, gotta get out.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head.
I said, good morning, everybody.
Morning has broken.
Classic Rock 99. Good morning. It is 5:37, 23 before 6. This is the David Roxanne program for Friday morning. It's a wet one out there today. Let me tell you. Hey, man. FM. No static at all. Classic Rock 99. It's 5:44, 16 before 6, and a wet Friday morning with Dave and Roxanne, and we've got a big blood drive coming up tomorrow at Eastwood Mall at Parisians. V8 in Birmingham, currently at Classic Rock 99, and trivia at hand with your chance to win what?
Well, you know, I just have to add this very quickly. You know, life is strange when you look in USA Today and it says female platyfish, when they are in the mood to mate, they go after the males with the big tail fins. Okay.
The male with the big tail, eh?
Yeah, gets it every time. For a Rock 99 hat, and I'd like to know, what does a phonophobe fear? Boy, that's like a little tongue twister.
A phonophobe.
What does a phonophobe fear?
OLPs.
No.
Oh, that's not it. It's not a phonophobe. Well, we'll rule that one out.
Call us 741-ROCK, 741-ROCK.
Say you will.
Say you will.
VRR, Birmingham.
Good morning. It's just before 6 at Classic Rock 99 with the first check on the best classic rock and roll. Classic Rock 99 and Survivor 7-Eleven. 11 after 7 on a Friday morning with Dave and Roxanne, and it's a wet one out there today.
That just makes me want to pump iron.
Does that make you want to pump iron? That makes me want to run up and down stairs.
It's on 100.5 WHMA in Anniston.
Burgess says that is a must game. I'm Scott Morgan for Alabama 100.
Thank you, Scott. Good afternoon. We're about a minute shy of 5 at Alabama 100. 100.5 FM.
Under the clouds, which were predicted earlier today, temperatures are down a few notches since sunset. We're at 56 in Homewood, 57 along the drive in Gadsden, 57 high atop the Commerce Center, downtown Anniston. With your exclusive Southland forecast this evening, a service of John's Furniture in Oxford.
Body.
Alabama 100, the South's official country music station. Now with even more of your favorites from yesterday and today. Even fewer interruptions. And greater variety. Serving the South in stereo 24 hours a day from Tennessee to Georgia and all of Northeast Alabama. With a stronger signal from our new super tower high atop Dixie.
WHMA-FM. Anniston, Gadsden. The new Alabama 100.
The next station is WZPQ. I don't know their exact FM frequency, but here it is, WZPQ.
WZBQ-FM, Jasper, Birmingham. WZBQ-AM, Tuscaloosa. Z-102.
This is Bill Bird.
Z-102. Playing 10 songs in a row. Just cause we like you.
Next station I have here on the dial is at 103.7, known as Q104, WQEN, out of Gadsden.
103.7, Q104, Leo Davis, Wilson Phillips, impulsive. Now, talking about impulsive, we just do things impulsively around here. Now, we got some serious winning happening this hour between now and 5 o'clock. Of course, 5 o'clock, we've got to kick off the weekend. The Friday blast-off is coming up. We've got to get somebody to do that. And also, I have Q-centration to happen in 1 minute. It's 4:34, 4:35, Q-centration comes up. And somewhere between now and then, I got another pair of Vanilla Ice tickets, so I'm going to kind of need some help here. I don't really know which one I should do first. Since it's close to Q-centration, but I really should go ahead and get somebody to kick off 5 for the road, but I could do that later. Vanilla Ice, I can work that in. So, okay, here's what we're going to do. All right, got it figured out. Right, okay. First, we're going to do Q-centration, and then we'll do somebody at work to kick off 5 for the road. And then, no, I got it. Okay, first we'll do Q-centration, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do about the rest later. That sounds good. Okay, so definitely got Q-centration down. That's happening right now. And to give everybody a chance to get your digits dialed in exactly right, caller 25, 545-9467. You got to have a Q-centration card to play. Match the right numbers. If it's got the same prize, then you win that prize. Q-centration's going on now. Looking for caller 25, 545-9467. Oh, I didn't think I'd make it through that one.
Wow!
More music
and instant request. Q104.
Next station is WZZK on 104.7. We've already heard that from 610 as a simulcast. The next station is WKIX on 106.9.
The weekend is here.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
The all-new Kix 106.
The Power Cow 106.9, Rico's on the radio. Woo, check this song out. It's fresh, it's new, it's Sweet Sensations, titled Each and Every Time on the Power Cow. The Power Cow congratulating Heather Davis of Bessemer. She won $1,000. It was our Kix 106 shopping spree. Well, look at it this way, Heather. At least you didn't have to go shopless for the rest of your Christmas gifts from the Power Cow. The Power Cow. Rico's on the radio. Let me stick my hand here in the Santa bag, see what we got to give away. It says you're a two live crew in concert. All right, be caller number 7 on the studio lines and win. Good luck. Power Cow, who is this?
This is Shay.
Well, ho, ho, ho to you. Guess what?
I won.
You win.
How exciting. Thanks.
Well, you're going to go see Two Live Crew in concert, okay?
That sounds good.
Tell me who plays the best music.
It's a power cow.
Brown and Glenn Medeiros kick off another 30 minutes of continuous music on the Power Cow. They're singing about She Ain't Worth It on the Power Cow.
The next one is WENN on 107.7, and that'll be the last one. Hope you all enjoyed it.
Wishing for a love that's evermore.
Delivering Birmingham's best music. 107.7 FM. WENN, Birmingham.
And off into the tape hiss fades another market scope for another month. Have a safe month, everybody. We'll see you back here shortly. I'm Phil Wayne for the DX Audio Service. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now that the DX Audio Service has been around for a number of years and reached quite a level of notoriety and popularity, we have a substantial group of young ladies who hang around the audio service studios just to kind of be with the personalities. Now, I usually introduce John Bowker at this time, but I see that Spike, our engineer, is motioning through the studio glass that we've had a slight change of plans.
And now, here's the sexiest man alive. The man with the big microphone. John Bowker.
Sooner or later, you're gonna be mine.
Historical moments in broadcasting. A brief look at this exciting industry from the inside to learn more about how it developed over the years. This month, we're going to go back to the early days of WLW in Cincinnati. We're going to be reading from a book prepared by Dick Perry, the general manager of WLW, back 25 years ago or more. He writes, "In 1972, WLW and I were 50 years old. We were both born in Cincinnati, but there the comparison stops. WLW remains young. I am growing old. I have three offspring, two handsome boys and a beautiful girl. WLW has 11. They're in the form of five television stations, WLWT in Cincinnati, WLWD in Dayton, WLWC in Columbus, WLWI in Indianapolis, and WOAI-TV in San Antonio. And we also have six radio stations. Remember, this is 1972 now. WRTH in Wood River, that's in Illinois, WOAI, San Antonio, WWDC, AM and FM in Washington, KYA and KOIT in San Francisco. WLW has also had more shortwave stations than I'd care to list. At the beginning, though, I had more lung power than WLW radio had broadcast power. I could be heard three or four houses away sometimes when I was a real youngster, and sometimes WLW couldn't. And I didn't have to stop bawling once every hour so ships in distress on the high seas could be heard. But WLW and every other broadcast station in the country did have to stop once an hour for exactly that purpose. But soon WLW was out shouting me. Once when it was broadcasting experimentally with 500,000 watts, it outshined every other commercial broadcasting station in the United States. Its signal strength was so powerful you didn't need a radio receiver to hear it. Some say the station came in on the milking machines near Mason, Ohio. And others claim that WLW came in on barbed wire fences and on gold fillings and teeth. All I know is that in Saddamsville, where I live, WLW always came in real good. WLW and I grew up together. The first studios of WLW were in Powell Crosley Jr.'s home in College Hill. First transmitter was a 20-watt job that contained four 5-watt tubes and had been built by the Standard Precision Instrument Company. This, though, was when WLW wasn't WLW. It had been authorized as a special land station by the Department of Commerce sometime during the summer of 1921. The call letters assigned by them were 8XAA. WLW became WLW in March 1922, if that helps. Some say the original call letters were 8CR, and those of you who are fond of old call letters, as I am, are probably wondering where 8CR vanished to. Well, the only record of 8CR's existence seems to be in the news releases that Crosley Jr. himself wrote. He said 8CR was the forerunner of WLW, but nobody else can prove it. The Department of Commerce, then licensing the stations, has no record of it. The department says his first station was the aforementioned 8XAA. We'll leave that discussion to the ages. But when WLW was officially authorized, it was allowed 50 watts of power, and it broadcast at the 360 wavelength spot on the dial. And unless you were with a dial and fiddling the cat whisker all the time, you'd never have found it, of course. In September 1922, Crosley moved his radio station from his home to his new manufacturing plant in the Mill Creek Valley of Ohio. The studio, heavily curtained, contained the transmitter as well as the microphones. According to old-timers, when summer came, the transmitter got warm, and the studio got warmer. It was an oven. The first WLW microphone was a huge Morning Glory horn, 8 feet long, and you shouted into the big end of it, which was 3 feet across. Actually, you didn't shout into it. You stuck your head halfway down the barrel to be heard. Phonograph music was played by putting the Morning Glory horn of the phonograph player against the Morning Glory horn of the microphone. Those must have been the good old days. Well, DX Audio Service subscribers, this is really a fascinating book, and next month we'll get into WLW and how it picked its slogans and certain of its programming plans and engineering changes and all that here on Historical Moments in Broadcasting. Until next month, I'm John Bowker.
Troubles away.
We're gonna set your heart on a swing.
You got a lot of listening to do.
It's time now for our Musings from Members column. These are the thoughts of the NRC members and do not necessarily reflect those of the editors, publishers, or the National Radio Club Incorporated.
Greetings, DX Audio Service members. This is Tom Likens reporting from the Gem City of the Big Sandy Valley, Louisa, Kentucky, with a couple of things. A friend of mine just purchased a 1957 Cadillac, and the radio in that thing is superb. It's the Wonder Bar radio. It's just AM, and those members in Ohio especially will remember what Roger Helmlinger had to say about the 56 Cadillac radio, that he thought it was the best that had ever been for AM. And the 57 Cadillac radio is superb. To answer the gentleman's question, no, I won't be at the convention. There's a transportation problem. Clarksburg's about a 5.5-hour drive from here. However, if any NRC member in the Huntington or Charleston area wants to put together a convention sometime in the future, I'd be glad to help them. As I mentioned on a previous edition, Fred, we have a new FM station on the air, and a member contacted me and said, Tom, would you please, if possible, play us the sign-on. So here is the sign-on of our new FM station, WSAC 92.3, and the golden dulcimer tones of Mr. Paul Fife.
Good morning from WSAC FM. WSAC FM, Louisa, Kentucky, is beginning another broadcast day. WSAC FM, owned and operated by Louisa Communications, with offices and studios at 112.5 Madison Street in Louisa. WSAC broadcasts on 92.3 megahertz with an effective radiated power of 6,000 watts as designed by the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C. Our antenna and transmitter is 7 kilometers north of Louisa, 4 kilometers east of Fallsburg, just west of the Kentucky Power Generating Plant. WSAC-FM, on the banks of the lovely Big Sandy, invites you to have a wonderful listening day and stay with us until 12 midnight for quality local programming and entertainment.
And there you go, Fred. See you on the DX Audio Service.
Hi, Fred and other Audio Service subscribers. This is Doug Hunsinger in Silver Spring, Maryland, reporting a format change on medium wave. WTAR in Norfolk at 790 has dropped its standards format for news and sports and other information. I don't know when this took place, but last weekend I heard them airing Channel 3 news from Norfolk at around 11 o'clock at night. And speaking of Norfolk, I was in the Tidewater area over the weekend of the 29th of June, and like Vic in Silver Spring, I had a good e-opening on FM listening to KSYN at 92.5 for Missouri. They were in from about 3 o'clock until 3:20 p.m. with about, top 40 music and very little fade. Speaking of FM, I think my two favorite FM stations in this area are WHFS at 99.1, which is alternative music, new wave, and WMUC at 88.1 in College Park, Maryland, which will play about anything. Speaking of MUC, here's an air check that somebody told me this is in John Bowker's hidden collection of quality air checks.
And before that, the last time I talked, my name is Josh again. It's now 10:14. I'm going to go off the air after this song because I have to take a dump. And honestly, that's where my priorities now. I'm sorry. Anyway, here are some.
Thanks for sharing.
I felt like sharing it with the world. Anyway, here are some famous last words from 9353.
Sorry I won't be able to attend the convention this Labor Day weekend, but I'll be looking forward to hearing reports on the convention and the medium wave loop. That's it from here. Bye for now.
Hello, fellow DXers. This is Victor Schmidt. Today is July the 19th. It's approximately 9:15 Friday night. The FM band has been going wild for the last hour. I've been pulling in FM stations primary down in the southeastern part of the United States. So far I've picked up Panama, Florida, Biloxi, Mississippi, Mobile, New Orleans, you name it, I'm pulling it in. Turned on the TV, got Channel 3 in Tampa again. They were offering some kind of prize if you've matched a challenge. I think you get a dinner at a local restaurant or something. It's really incredible how the E-layer skip has just taken off the last few days. I've pulled in Havana, Miami. I have not pulled in my usual stations I get when there's an E-layer skip out in the west. In that direction, I get stations in Omaha, Lincoln, Duluth. Sometimes I get Winnipeg, a French language channel 3 from there. It's really incredible. Well, talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
And if you have something to say, something on your mind, give us a call on the Action Line. Due to what the insurance industry calls a act of God, a thunderstorm came through the area and a lightning bolt decided to leave a message on our answering machine. It was out for a good portion of our DX Audio Service time here, so we only had a few calls on it. But now it's back in commission, thanks to AT&T. And if you have something to say, give us a call today. Area 419-224-3916 is the telephone number. 24 hours a day, we're going to listen to you. And we've done it in the past where we've suggested maybe something to comment on. I'd like to hear your feelings on this. The Federal Communications Commission is thinking about relaxing the rules for AM ownership, or I should say of all ownership, and one of the things they're looking at is a possibility of allowing an owner to own as many AM stations as possible with a cap on FM stations of 15 or 18 or so. There's another thing they're thinking about doing, and that is relaxing the rule, which says that you can't have two AM stations or two FM stations in the same market. And there's even talk about the possibility of allowing foreign ownership of a radio station. How do you feel about that? Let's hear from you, the membership of the National Radio Club DX Audio Service, and tell us what you think about some of these rules. Well, on the telephone line right now, I have Bill Swiger. I guess I was pronouncing his name incorrectly on our last edition. And, Bill, what is going on over Labor Day down there in West Virginia?
Okay, well, we're going to have the National Radio Club Convention and make it a four-day affair. And like I said, Friday will be mostly the day of revival for people. We have two hospitality rooms at the Holiday Inn for that weekend. We hope to have some lectures on beverage antennas and also on older radios. We hope to have a lot of older tube equipment on display and on use for people that like to try to use them. We're going to have several loop antennas and ferret rod loop antennas. And then Saturday evening also we'll have the banquet and the auction. And Sunday morning, there'll be the brunch at the Holiday Inn there also.
Okay, and how much will this cost for people attending the 1991 NRC convention?
Okay, everything for the whole weekend is $25 for the 4 days. I think the breakfast is $9, which is Sunday morning. The banquet, I think it's $15, $14 or $15 for the banquet on Saturday evening. Okay, it's $14. It's $15. And that makes a total of $49 for the whole weekend if everybody wants to attend everything.
And where is it going to be held? And can you give us some ideas about what the room rates are like and all that stuff?
Okay, the rates is $58 per night. They will be at the Holiday Inn in Bridgeport, which it is at the intersection of Interstate 79 and Route 50. It's very easy to find. It'll be at the top of the hill when you come off. It's on Route 50 at the top of the hill. And there's signs everywhere, and it'll be very easy to find. There's a lot of, there is all kinds of other fast foods within walking distance around there. There's two shopping malls within walking distance. And there is another mall, which is about 4 or 5 minutes away. You'd have to drive to that is very large also.
Every convention, we usually have a NRC, the world-famous NRC auction. Tell me, Bill, do you have any items in for the auction? And what kind of things are you looking for the NRC auction?
As of right now, we do not have any auction items in. I haven't received any from anyone. We're looking for most anything and everything is radio related. I've talked to some people at some radio stations that's going to be gathering up some bumper stickers and this sort of thing to have there. And also on Sunday night we hope to have a couple beverage antennas and some antenna tuners hooked up so we can pull an all-nighter and have some equipment. Somewhere out in the field there, and because I know when I talked to some people last year at the convention that they had never used a beverage antenna or a loop antenna, so we're going to have both of them set up.
And I understand that there's going to be some other activities happening in your area during the 1991 convention. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, in Clarksburg, which actually is just east of Bridgeport probably 6 miles at the most. They're having the Italian Arts Festival, Italian Heritage Festival, and they draw in 200 to 300,000 people there. And this thing is going on, I think, for 3 or 4 days that weekend. And there's a lot of food and entertainment and crafts there. And also approximately 15 miles south of here on I-79, they have the Arts and Crafts Festival at Jackson Mills, which is This thing is huge also. It draws in a couple hundred thousand people. And they have, if anyone's interested in any of that type of crafts, yeah, and yeah, it's everything's here. They even have sheep down there that they bring in and shear, and you can buy clothing made out of lamb's wool and all kinds of foods, antique engines. They have Civil War enactment. They have a hot air balloon down there. That's about all I can think of offhand.
Okay, and about how many people have signed up, and how many people are you going to expect to come to the convention this year?
Yes, the last time I was up at the Holiday Inn, they had, I think, 18 to 20 rooms taken, and we have a block of 50 rooms reserved. So probably after the 31st of July, then these rooms probably will be taken, but up until that time, they're holding those rooms for the National Radio Club.
Okay, so the end of July is when the cutoff is for the rooms. When's the cutoff for pre-registration to the National Radio Club convention?
I think pre-registration, is the 15th of August.
And pre-registration is $25 per person. $10 for a spouse or each additional person coming to the convention. Then for each person on Saturday night, the banquet is $15, and each person on Sunday morning for the breakfast is $9. If you'd like to put this on your Visa or MasterCard, it's very easy to do. Just call National Radio Club headquarters at area code 608-423-4159. The best time to call to speak to Mike is between 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. If you call any other time and you get the answering machine, here's the information which you need to leave on the machine to get this order processed. Leave your name, the card number, the expiration date, the name on the card, and list the items which you wish to pay by credit card. That is $25 for registration per person, $10 for each additional person in your family coming to the convention, $15 per person for the Saturday night banquet, and $9 per person for the Sunday morning breakfast. Leave that information on Mike's machine, and you might want to just leave a phone number in case there's a problem in putting it through on the card, and you're off and running to the 1991 National Radio Club Convention. We hope to see you there, and if we get to make it this year, I got my fingers crossed, believe me, and we hope to put together some fine tapes for those who do not get to attend the convention so that you can hear exactly what went on at the National Radio Club Convention.
Los Angeles, 710 in LA, KMPC.
We're always hearing about the Federal Communications Commission shutting down a station or fining them heavy for violations, but did you ever hear of them shutting down a cable system? The Federal Communications Commission has shut down Falcon Cable Television System for excessive leakage on aviation frequencies. On April the 24th, 1991, the Federal Communications Commission's Los Angeles office issued a cease operations order to Falcon Cable Television of Mojave, California. Falcon was ordered to shut down its system because results of a FCC inspection showed numerous signal leaks on the aviation frequencies. The leaks were in excess of the 20 microvolt limit and far exceeded the cumulative leakage index, the CLI, of 64. The CLI standard, as defined in Section 76.611 of the Commission's rules, was designed to prevent harmful interference to aeronautical communications in the frequency bands of 108 to 137 and 225 to 400 megahertz. Violation of the Commission's CLI standard presents a threat to public safety. In addition to shutdown orders, possible penalties for violations of signal leakage rules included assessment of monetary forfeitures. Because of the safety of life concerns associated with excessive leakage from cable television systems, the Commission will continue to inspect and vigorously enforce its regulations in that area. This bust of a cable company is one of only several noted recently. It may signal a new activism on the part of the Federal Communications Commission to protect, that is, the rights and lives of citizens. The FCC and the FAA have also been at odds over the issue of towers close to airports recently, but the Federal Communications Commission still cited defunct WOKJ 1550 for unlit tower lights and other problems. The citation may result in a $250,000 fine, the maximum allotted. A small Denver entertainment company has signed an agreement with Soviet officials to establish Moscow's first commercial FM radio station, which organizers say will begin broadcasting late this summer. Video Communications and Radio Incorporated said that it has struck a joint agreement with the Soviet Agency for Cultural, Sports, and Business Development to build a 60,000-watt transmitter and broadcast studios in the Soviet capital. The station, tentatively named Radio 7, will begin broadcasting on a limited 3-hour daily schedule early next month and eventually plans to expand into a 24-hour format featuring European and American pop music and jazz. This started with discussions we had with the Soviets more than 18 months ago, and we have every confidence the venture will go ahead, said Video Communications President Ben Dowd. The operators hope to sell advertising time to American companies already doing business in the Soviet Union, such as General Electric, Levi Strauss, and Campbell Soup, collecting revenues in dollars. Moscow already has 6 radio stations broadcasting on the AM and shortwave bands, but a large segment of the population has FM receivers, which they use to capture signals from stations in Europe, Dowd said. The FM frequencies originally assigned to the Soviet military will be used for the communications. Video Communications says it is investing $500,000 up front to start the station and will split the profits with the Soviet partners.
You are listening to WKYC. You are a wild child. You've got a lot of smooth and you got a lot of cool. You're alive. You're alert. You're a gas. You are listening to WKYC.
Let's check out radio waves from Laura McCusker. You can write to Laura at WROW Radio, 341 Northern Boulevard in Albany, New York, 12204. Well, it seems that for the first time in 6 years, Arbitron has made good on their threat to delete a radio station for ratings distortion. WWFE-AM will be deleted from the Winter 91 Arbitron ratings and Phase 1 and 2 of the spring survey for the Miami-Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood market, including both printed books and all computer tapes. Spanish-formatted WWFE, Radio Fe, asked listeners to fill out ratings booklets completely with the name of Radio Fe, making a line in the blank spaces of each page to avoid additions. Deleting means Radio Fe will be out of commission until the last 4 weeks of the spring survey period, which is May 23rd through June 19th. The last time that Arbitron deleted a station was in December of 1985, when KELI KQZZ Tulsa offered a on-air bribe of $14.30 for each Arbitron diary brought to the station and for running 2 newspaper ads with the same offer. Well, all New York radio stations, FM radio stations, that is, with antennas on the Empire State Building, are planning a new state-of-the-art antenna to replace the original master antenna system installed in the mid-60s. The stations involved will be WXRK, WQXR, WSKQ, WRKS, WBAI, WHTZ, WNEW, WNCN, WNSR, WLTW, and WBLS. The effective height will be 1,361 feet above average terrain. The power will be 6 kilowatts for all but WBLS, which will be 4.3 kilowatts. Theoretical coverage will remain the same as now, but bandwidth, gain, and sound quality should improve. Well, there's some industry fallout from the Gulf War. In a April 24th notice of apparent liability, which was sent to Emmis Broadcasting's KSHE-FM in St. Louis. The Federal Communications Commission has fined the station $25,000 for broadcasting a fake warning that the U.S. was under nuclear attack. The warning was aired during AM Drive on January 29, 1991, about 2 weeks after the outbreak of war. Emmis has 30 days to officially respond to the notice. And I don't know if it's like this in your part of the neighborhood, but I'll tell you, as we're recording this, this program here, it's officially went up to 100 degrees, and the air conditioning in the studio is just barely keeping up with the load there. I think it's about 80 degrees in here, and normally we have the stat set at 72, so it's quite warm outside, and it looks like it's going to be like that for quite a while to come. In fact, when I talked to Bill Swiger there on the phone a while ago, when we first got on the phone, he said it was 95 degrees in West Virginia. Oh, I don't know if there's any place we can go to get out of the heat. How about that? What thermal problem with the ozone, huh? Okay, in our next edition, we'll have lots more of DX stuff, as well as some convention information and a whole lot more. See you on next month's edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. 73 and good DX.
This is radio station WDEE in Detroit, Michigan, owned and operated by Globe Broadcasting Company. WDEE operates at 1,500 kilohertz with a daytime power of 50,000 watts and a nighttime power of 5,000 watts by authority of the Federal Communications Commission. The equipment tests are now concluded.
WDEE Detroit.
The Big D.